Where were you born?
I was born in Boise, Idaho. That always throws people, but my dad met my mom when he was in the Army, and she's from Oregon, at least the Northwest area. I don't have to rewrite history. I don't know the particulars necessarily, but in my mind, being a fine young feller, husband and son-in-law, he moved out there when they first got married, and he got out of the Army to the Northwest, and he did different jobs, one of which was a mechanic. I know the mechanic thing flows through my family. You know, it misses me, but my brothers can take a pile of metal and build a car. I think I do that same thing with the music I make. Mechanics, you see pieces, what has to be done, you put it together piece by piece. But anyway, I can't fix your car if it breaks down before you leave today. So he's out there in the Northwest, and one of the people he meets, a guy named Paul Sparks, is in the stainless steel waterless cookware business. Not door-to-door, but traveling salesman, where they sell this high-priced waterless cookware. And it really is a great, great thing. It still is. We still use it. Dad went to work for him and really found out he had a calling for that thing. My dad was, unlike me, 6'4". Eighth grade education, but read more books than I'll ever read and could pump himself up, and he was almost perfect for that gig, I guess. He did that around Oregon and Washington and Idaho when my older brother was born in Vancouver, Washington, and then at some point in 1950, I was born in Boise, Idaho. Just skipping ahead to 52, probably, so I was just a baby. They headed back towards Oklahoma, landing first in Wichita, Kansas, still selling cookware, now out of the salesman for this other guy, but on his own selling this cookware. And then one of my first memories is driving up to the farm, just like you did, in that same spot, and Bailey was his last name, coming out to see my dad, and I'm just almost three, and they're making the deal on this place when I was three. We moved here because I think the farmer in Dad was always an equal calling to the salesman, and I don't know how much difference he saw in that, but we moved here. My older brother went to Glencoe. I'm 3 years old. My little brother Bobby was born. Scott's in the first grade, my older brother, and then we moved to Tulsa for Dad to sell cookware for a year or two. Then we moved to Oklahoma City for a year or two, where I started school, living in an area called The Village. It was a good time for me. You know, the coming of age, the first coming of age when you're just aware of anything. Six and seven, yep. And eight, up towards eight.
So your father's name again is?
Bob or Robert Ripley.
And your mother's name?
Mary, original name being Bonser.
What was she like?
You know, I have to say, gregarious would be wrong, but there's a certain plow through it all that you have to have. Well, to live with a Ripley, I don't know, but to live on a farm and be a farmer's wife. They both came through the war, of course, so you get that. She was 5'1". My dad, as I said, is 6'4", and that's why I'm 5'10", you know, the great balancer. She was great in my life for support, and I think she supplied that for my dad up until they just couldn't do it anymore. So they were divorced in, I think, 66, because I was 16. It's easy to figure my age because 1950, but supportive of her sons.
Did music come through either one of them?
Boy, it's more than two tapes worth. But briefly put, first of all, I gave this speech in the Tractor's Days a lot, where I would say a lot of musicians, especially country musicians, have this lineage. They got together and all their uncles played and all that stuff. You know, I didn't have that. The joke in my family was, I can barely play the radio, would be what my dad would say. But I was nuts for it from a baby. Now, saying a baby, though, at the time, I can remember that and being just as serious about it then as I am now, or at least I was 10 years ago. So on the Ripley homestead that I've talked about, and just to the east of that, was the Schanzenbach homestead, a family of Germans. I think that figures heavily in everything. They're direct from the old country. What happened is the Schanzenbach girl and my grandpa, the young Elmer Ripley, married, and that's what started the Ripley family that I know of. To answer your question, I didn't know about any of this until way later. And one of these Schanzenbach heirs or lineage people who had changed their name to Johnson and moved away during the war found us because he's one of those guys that likes that lineage deal and was doing the genealogy. And so he'd tracked down his family, the Ripley part. And I'm walking around his old house. He starts talking about the Johnsons, which are really the Schanzenbachs, and they all played music. And the kids had a family band, and they were on TV. They'd moved to Alaska at some point, and they were on TV, and they had their own TV show, and then they made their own records. I don't know how good they were, but there is a lineage. And then I want to throw in, up until I found out that, which was greatly interesting to me, but the Schanzenbach house became my Uncle Elmer's house, my dad's brother, when I was a kid. And we would come down from Tulsa or Oklahoma City, especially Oklahoma City when I was eight, say, and spend the summer pretty much on the farm, Uncle Elmer's house. Great house. And the Ripleys were nuts for music, though they didn't play it. They all went to the Bob Wills dances. They were normal young rebel rousers. To set the stage, I just saw a picture Wednesday of oil derricks in Oklahoma. They're in the Osage area, in the Oklahoma City area. People can't imagine. You look to the landscape, and it's just as far as you can see. So all of them worked in the oil field. That was the job you did as a teenager and later was to go work in the oil field. And so I'm, again, not trying to rewrite history or even write history. My imagination takes me to a place where there are young guys in the oil field partying it up, but they went to all the dances. So at Uncle Elmer's house, and it's just, as I say to people, it's just one word. Uncle Elmer is a word. I'm fond of Elmer now because it's in my family, but I never thought of it as Uncle Elmer. I have an Uncle Joe, I have an Uncle Louie, or had, but Uncle Elmer, that was one word, and his wife's name is Georgia, but she went by Babe. So Uncle Elmer and Aunt Babe, and that's where we'd spend our time. And they had a great collection of records. I talked about my first memory buying this place, or one of my other first memories would have been at age 3 or 4 at my Uncle Elmer's house playing those records. Now, why they let me do that, I don't know, but they did, trying to get that 78 record of Bob Wills Stay All Night, Stay a Little Longer on that little spindle. In my mind, the size I am now, it'd be a 3 or 4 foot record, but I'm a little baby. I'm holding up the 78 record with a little tiny hole in the middle of it, putting it on that spindle so I can listen to Bob Wills or Hank Williams. And that's what caught me. And then one of Uncle Elmer's daughters, one of my cousins, Mary Irene, in 54, fell in love and went nuts. I mean, she just went nuts for Elvis. So that big 78 thing of Bob Wills and Hank Williams shifted for me because of her. And the whole world shifted to Elvis, and I never recovered, I guess.